Welcome to the Relational Impact Podcast. We're here to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord and in your relationship with others. Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. So glad you could join us today. We are going to jump right into a conversation that Elaine and I had with some of our good friends. Well, hello, Elaine.
Maybe we should start over. Yeah, because she laughed.
We're kind of excited about today's podcast because we're going to be interviewing some really dear friends of ours and just kind of excited to probably just cover the gamut of our podcast. We'll talk about our relationship with the Lord, relationship in marriage, parenting, you know, just every aspect of relationship we'll probably cover because these two people have an incredible amount of information that they can give us, wisdom they can give us. So
yes, and I like to think of these two as partially as our adopted parents because every time we go somewhere with them, people refer to them as our parents. I'm trying to figure out if they're your parents or my parents because I say, yes, this is my mom, and you say, yeah, this is my dad. It's like we've just adopted them, so we have the same parents. Mm-hmm. But it's such a blessing because they're our spiritual parents. Mm-hmm. They're people who have taught us so much, and we've gleaned so much from their lives. And so we feel so honored to get to share them with you, all of our listeners, today.
Yeah, so we are meeting today with Jim and Judy Allen. Before we get into the podcast, I think it would be interesting for us to tell how we met them.
Yes.
Right? So we were both in pastoral ministry.
Both meaning you and Jim.
Right. Hello, Jim. How are you? Judy, how are you?
Great.
We had just finished a building program in our church, and I was exhausted. And we went to the city where they had a bed and breakfast. We didn't know this at the time. And you picked up a brochure.
Yes.
And you said, I'd love to go drive out there and look at this place. So we did. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful lake with cabins around it. And
peace.
We experienced a lot of peace when we drove onto the property.
And it was way out of our budget, but we agreed that we would at least go and look at it. And we contacted them just to see if they had availability, just curious. And that's when you spoke with Judy over the phone and just happened to mention that you were a pastor. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, great, we have discounts for pastors and their families.
It's a great discount.
Yes. So we booked it.
We did. And so we went in, checked in, and we met them in the driveway. We didn't know it was them.
Right.
Rolled the windows down, and I think Judy said, are you our guest? And we said, yes. We asked, is there a place we could attend church tomorrow? They said, well, yeah, actually, I'm a pastor. You can come to our church. And then you can come over for lunch afterwards. And so that's how our relationship began.
And amazingly, we went for lunch. We absolutely fell in love with the teaching that Brother Jim did. Mm-hmm. And we went to their house for lunch and stayed the entire evening until dinner. I don't know if you guys remember this or not.
Yes.
But we had so much in common, and they were just speaking to our souls. And they said to us, we would like for you to go home and get your children and come back and stay for a week. And we were just floored.
It was a huge gift to our family.
Floored. And since then, we have been forever friends.
We have. So, Jim and Judy Allen, is that the way you remember our introduction?
Yes.
That's it.
Exactly.
Did we miss anything?
No.
No.
You guys have been married for how many years?
42.
42 years. Jim has inspired me in so many ways. On your 25th anniversary, you bought Judy a silver PT Cruiser. Remember that?
I do remember that. She had always admired those cars, and we were needing a new car. But I went out to New Orleans. She was at a Christian Women's Club meeting or something in New Orleans, and so I had some free time, and I went over and looked and purchased one, but said, I can't pick it up today because I've got to keep it as a surprise for my wife. And I kept it hidden until the anniversary. And I brought it out, and Judy said, "Oh, how sweet, you've rented a PT Cruiser for us for our anniversary."
Well, let me tell you, because I wanted one so bad, the year before at Christmas time, he had rented me a PT Cruiser, a gray PT Cruiser, for a day. And so we cruised in it all day long. But then he had to take it back. Mm-hmm. So it's our anniversary. And I'm thinking, well, he's done the same thing. He's rented me a silver PT Cruiser for a day.
So we went to another bed and breakfast and spent the night there. And the next morning, I gave her a very small box as a gift, like something some jewelry would be in, and she opened that box.
And there were my keys. There I was, the owner of a brand new silver PT Cruiser. That was just, that was probably the biggest gift, material gift that, well, it is the largest material gift that I'd ever gotten, but I just felt like it was God saying, you know, I own everything, and here I've allowed this man that you love, I've given him the opportunity and the ability to give you your heart's desire. But I felt like it was through God.
That was an inspiration to me. Of course, Elaine was really impressed by that. That created a small problem for me. So on our 25th anniversary, since I was not in a position to buy a real car, your example impressed Elaine so much, I decided to give her one of many gifts during our 25th anniversary was a little plastic PT Cruiser.
Oh.
Silver, just to say, hey, if Jim can do it, I can.
Oh, how sweet.
It was so great. But the reality of this story is you guys have been such an example and an inspiration to us of how to love one another well. And I think that has influenced us greatly. Me as a wife, with the way that you love Mr. Jim, and you're so patient and forbearing and forgiving and just loving. Not that there's a whole lot to forgive with Mr. Jim.
Just that he's a very slow man. And you know, women...
And you're very fast.
I'm very fast. And most women want immediate,
yes,
you know, response. And no, but I've learned that is who God made him.
Right.
And it's really sweet. Because sometimes in our personal lives, God doesn't work real fast with us. You know, he'll move slowly, and Jim's a godly man, and so I can accept him being slow.
That's awesome.
Well, let's start with the area of being a pastor. Like, how did you guys, I mean, you weren't brought up to be a pastor, I'm thinking, and so tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Since we're talking about relationships, I'd really like to go back many, many years to the point where I grew up as a pastor's kid, the preacher's kid. And actually the only thing I knew about religion was that you're supposed to go to church every Sunday. And if you go to church every Sunday, then you're a good Christian. And that's how I grew up, and that's what I grew up knowing. So after Judy and I got married, we started studying the Bible, getting involved in some Bible studies where we were really taught how to study the Bible and how to present the Bible. I began to see that religion is not what God desires from us. He desires a personal, intimate relationship. And one weekend at our church that we were going to at the time, they had a man come for a seminar over the weekend, and his subject was about prayer. And the emphasis of his presentation was that God wants an intimate relationship with each of us, and he wants us to know him. And that really caught my attention, and he suggested, God says, if you seek me, you will find me. And he encouraged us to seek him through his word, but in prayer. And he said, go back home and empty out a closet, make yourself a prayer closet, and meet with God every day. And that all just really impressed me, because I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know God. Mm. And so I went home and remodeled a room in the house for a prayer closet, got me a little prayer bench, and every morning I'd get up early and go in there and just seek God in His Word and in prayer. And that just really is when my life changed. Mm. After that, I was sensitive to God's leading and sensitive to His calling, and the desire of my life was to please Him.
Mm. That's beautiful.
And that's when you surrendered to the call to pastor?
No. As a result of that, we were on the prayer team at our church. Back up to when I was a pastor's kid, I guess I felt a calling of God in some way in my teenage years, because I remember telling God, I will not be a pastor. I'll go to Africa if you want me to, but I will not be a pastor.
Big mistake.
One night, I was up in that prayer room. It was set up so that people could call in a request, and the person in the room would write the request down. They would pray for it, and then all the rest of us who came in at our hour in the prayer room would go through the notebook and pray these things. And this was the first really dramatic thing in my life. I was praying. There was a church down at Pecan Island, Louisiana, and a little country church, and they didn't have a pastor. And this lady had written a request that we would pray that God would send them a pastor. So I was praying, asking God to do that. And I very clearly heard God say, Jim, I'm going to send you. Well, because I was teaching Bible studies, I assumed what God meant was He was going to send me down there for a few weeks until He could find a pastor to send down there. But that wasn't the way it worked out. After a week or two, they asked me to be their pastor. And I told them, well, I don't know at this point exactly what God has ahead of me, but I will be glad to keep coming down and pastoring for you. And I think that lasted about 2 years, didn't it, Judy?
Yes.
And a startling event happened then, 2 years later. We had our worship music at the beginning of the service that Sunday, and then when I got up to preach, I opened up my Bible to the scriptures that I was going to preach upon. And God said to me very clearly again, Jim, tell these people this is your last Sunday. I had no idea why, but I told them. And of course, the most shocked person in the audience was my wife. She didn't know what was going on, and I didn't either. I just knew that had happened.
So let me clarify. When you say God spoke to you, did you hear like an audible voice, or this was in your heart or spirit?
I heard an audible voice back at the time in that prayer room when I was going through the book. I heard God say, Jim, I'm going to send you. I heard it just as clearly when He said, tell them today's your last day.
Now, when He told the congregation, this is my last day, I'm sitting there and I'm very surprised, because we had not talked about this or prayed about this, which was our normal thing, you know, to know where God was leading. But I knew that Jim always heard clearly from God. And in my spirit, I was going, yes, yes, we're going back to the big church. I'm going to be with my friends. We don't have to drive 150 miles every Sunday morning back and forth to this small congregation where God's not really being able to use my gifts, mm-hmm. just Jim. So I'm so excited about that. And the large church that we came from had been asking Jim to come and teach their auditorium class, which was the largest class at this church. And it was people that didn't want to go to individual Sunday school classes. It was just an adult class. Mm-hmm. I was so excited about that. Yay, my man's going to be talking to 200 people every Sunday morning and not just 25 or 30. Mm-hmm. So here we go back. We trek back, and he starts that auditorium Sunday school class. And for 2 weeks, he does that. At this time, we were teaching a precept Bible study. Jim would teach the men's class, and I would teach the women's class. Then we would come together for a video. And we had a man that had been a missionary to Hong Kong for 29 years. He came into Jim's class that one night, and he was very impressed. He wanted to take precept back to Hong Kong where they lived, but he was very impressed with Jim and Jim's teaching. He went up to Jim afterwards and he said, I've been doing some speaking at a church here in town that's without a pastor, but we're going to back to Hong Kong in a few weeks and they really need a pastor, and I'd like for you to go and apply for that job because you know, I think you could really help them. And Jim said to them, oh no, I would never go and present myself. If that is where I'm to be, then God will have to make it happen. And he said to Jim, could I recommend you? And Jim said, if you feel led by God, yes. He recommended Jim. They invited him the next Sunday. He went to preach. And there I'm without my big congregation for my husband because he's going back to another small congregation. And he went there as their interim pastor. Mm.
So that's a beautiful story for me listening in, because it's really neat to see how when God leads your husband, he's also working in your life and developing things in you as you follow and you submit to that leadership. Miss Judy, you've always been a great example of that to me. I'm so grateful for it.
Thank you.
Miss Judy, I'd like to hear more about the process for you. You know, when Mr. Jim shares about hearing from God and you sitting in the pulpit, mm-hmm. I mean, sitting in the pew, and that's the first time you hear of it. Well, my blood pressure would have gone up, and I would have just felt so slighted. But
I did feel slighted.
Okay. Share with us how you processed that and worked through that.
Well, I don't know. For 2 years, we drove to this little church 150 miles back and forth. Each Sunday, we drove there. I listened to him preach, and I began to grow in the Lord during that time because he would preach as though I would think, he thinks Jesus is standing at the back of the church watching him. That's how I was so impressed. Well, he had just started preaching. I never heard him preach. I'd heard him teach. But Elaine, I fought against this because I didn't want to go to that little church every Sunday morning. And as good as he was, I thought he deserves a large congregation. This is just not right. So when he resigned that morning, even though I had kind of been left out of, God didn't allow me to know first, I was so happy. And I was so happy that he went and started doing the large congregation class, which only lasted 2 weeks. And then he goes to this other church where there are like 30 members. And he preached one Sunday, and then they asked him to be their interim pastor. And my spirit inside of me all this time is churning, because the way I grew up, I knew that they would not ask Jim to be the pastor of their church because he had gone through a divorce in his early years. And he had grounds for his divorce, but I still knew that they will not ask him to be their pastor. And I diligently prayed for him constantly. Father, bless this man. Help him when they tell him, because of the circumstances of your life, you cannot be a pastor. Oh, Father, it's going to hurt his heart so much. It's just going to break him. But I was wrong in all of that. You know, Elaine, what God taught me, as much as I fought against the circumstance, I did support my husband 100%. Mm. But God taught me that he is the Almighty, the creator of all. He is Jehovah, Elohim. He can do whatever he desires to do, regardless of man's rules and man's take on things.
Amen.
So when they asked me to be the pastor and to become ordained, I had to go through an ordination council, and it was well attended. My memory tells me there were 12 or 14 of the pastors from the Lafayette area at that time. And they asked me a lot of questions, you know, about the Bible and my relationship with God and a lot of normal things. But they asked a lot about my personal life, too. What was the reason for the divorce and everything? And much to my surprise and to Judy's shocking surprise, it was a unanimous vote that I would be ordained. Mm-hmm. It's just God's work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's awesome.
Wow, and that's a sensitive place for you.
And one other thing while we're on this particular subject, shortly after I became the pastor of that church, God was just really revealing his word to me. He was doing the preaching through me, I feel. You know, I wasn't. It was an amazing experience. And I remember one morning, I guess it was a Saturday, because I usually spent the whole day Saturday preparing the final preparations for my messages. And I just became overcome with the feeling I was 50 years old before this all happened, and the time I wasted when I could have been starting at 20 years old and developing this relationship with God. And I remember I was on the floor on my face asking God to forgive me. And once again, I heard that clear, small voice. God said, "Jim, I put you in the ministry when I wanted you in the ministry." Mm. And that settled that.
So you guys talk a lot about the sovereignty of God, and you talk about it as though it's the most natural, normal thing for you.
Yes.
So how has the sovereignty of God shown itself? I mean, we've heard some of that already in this story, but tell us a little bit more about that.
I think when I have recognized it the most is in our senior years now, when we've kind of been retired and everything, Tim, because I look back over this whole adventure.
That's what you call your life.
Mm-hmm. That's my life.
An adventure.
It is an adventure yes. With God. Yeah.
And before you go on, could you explain for our listeners what the sovereignty of God is?
That God is in control. Mm. One of the things that after I became that pastor, they were living in old buildings. The roof was leaking. We didn't have the money to. So we sold that building and began process of building a new building. And through that whole process, God enabled us to build a nice facility. I was the one that did all the designing and a lot of the work. But I never felt comfortable saying, "I built this church." And looking back over this whole adventure of everything God did, I can look back and I know I didn't do any of it. Mm-hmm. God did it all. Mm-hmm. He just used me. Mm-hmm. And that's such a blessing, because that's the desire of my heart, is just to serve Him. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's important. This is a little tidbit of your life, and I hope I have this right. Prior to being called of God into the ministry. You actually had a pretty affluent position at a local television station.
Oh, yes, I did.
You were making a very significant income.
Yes.
You were a figure on local TV.
Yes.
You traveled all over the world. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was an exciting journey. I began just as a staff announcer and became a production manager, operational manager, and then assistant general manager. The interesting thing, I never applied for any of those positions. Whatever position I was in, I just did my best, and they would come to me and say, Jim, we'd like for you to move up and do this. But I was at the height of that career when God called us into the ministry.
So going into the ministry was quite a sacrifice for both
of
them.
Never. No. Oh, never. I remember we had been praying for 8 years diligently. Sometimes we'd be on our knees beside the bed crying, Lord, we knew we were to be in full-time service for Him, but we didn't know where God would put us. We had like four places. We thought that He was going to pick one of those four places for us. I was sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then God put him in the ministry. Yes, he took a huge cut in salary. We never thought about what that was going to mean mm-hmm. for us.
Mm-hmm.
We were so excited and Jim was so eager to do what God had called him to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that was on our mind.
Yeah, I understand that fully. But I also think it's important for our listeners to know that when it comes to first world comforts, you guys had to sacrifice and give up a lot of comforts to step into that position.
But you know what? To make that move, because we made a lot of money, I had some beautiful furniture. I had some beautiful decorations for my home. So when we moved from our home into a house that we paid $15,000 for that was built in 1832 that really looked like a barn, we were able to go in and make it a beautiful home because God had already provided what we needed to make it beautiful. Mm. Isn't that sweet?
Yes.
Mm.
That house didn't just look like a barn. It was being used to store hay in for the horses when
wow.
we bought it.
Oh, wow.
But you made the best of it, and you allowed
yes.
God to bless you
yes.
where you were. And he
yes.
did.
Yes.
It was so clear that we were on God's schedule, because when we put our house up for sale, the first people that came to look at it, the first day that it went on the market, they bought it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So these are just more examples of God's sovereign hand in your life.
Yes.
Controlling these things, leading you.
Yes.
And we've had the privilege of watching a lot of that unfold, mm. and
yeah.
it's been beautiful. And
so I'm assuming that this old barn-like house was the bed and breakfast that we came to?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It sure was.
Well, I never would have guessed it was ever a barn, for sure. A
yes.
barn.
And the Lord not only used you in the pastorate, but he used you through the business that the two of you established, Country Oaks Bed and Breakfast.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come from all over the world and stay at your bed
That's
and breakfast.
Right.
And you always faithfully shared the gospel with them every
yes.
breakfast.
Yes, we did. And I'll tell you about that. We didn't go out there with the expectation of starting a bed and breakfast. That had never entered our mind. There was one cottage on the property that we were living in while that big barn was being changed into a home. And we invited some friends to come out for dinner. And we set up a card table out by the lake. And Judy, of course, did her thing. She decorated everything. And one of the people that we invited owned a bed and breakfast. And when they came out and saw the beauty of the property, they said, you all should start a bed and breakfast. And we said, well, we don't know anything about that. And she said, well, when we are full and don't have any more rooms, let us recommend you to the people who call, and you can see if you enjoy doing a bed and breakfast. So we said, well, that sounds okay.
And so that's what we did. And it was just, that was another way of God directing our lives to provide for us. Because you see, we didn't realize we could not live on 14 and a half acres with his mother next door and keep up the grounds on his small salary. Mm. But these friends, it was how God orchestrated for us to start the bed and breakfast, be able to share the gospel with people after breakfast every week. And it was just a wonderful thing to do because I was the one that got to share the gospel breakfast.
Would you do us the honor of telling us how you did that and then sharing that story with us?
Yes, because there was a well-known rumor in that community that on this piece of property, a treasure had been buried during the Civil War, that the rich owners of the land had buried all of their gold and silver and everything and then covered it over. So,
okay, well, after breakfast, I would say, I would like to share with y'all the history of our house and our property, if you'd like to hear it. And always people would stay. And so I would begin by telling them about the old house. We had had the house moved about 15 miles from Lafayette to Brobridge on this site where it was now. But it had been a grocery store at one time sitting on the Vermilion River. And the kitchen to the house sat right out over the river. People would paddle their P-Rows to the grocery store, come up in a trap door that we had in our floor that I could show them in the kitchen. They would come up into the kitchen area by their wheat, flour, rice, oil, whatever they needed, sugar, load it in their P-Row and paddle back home. So that was kind of the history of our home. Our home was totally built out of red cypress. The walls were built on the ground, one horizontal and one vertical, and then they would lift the walls up. Every nail in our home is a square nail that's been hammered out. So we had a lot of beautiful history about our home. The home in itself was interesting. Then the property during the Civil War, when the Union soldiers were coming that direction, the plantation owners took all their gold and valuables, and they selected a place in the middle of a triangle of oak trees. And we had 7 oak trees on our property that were huge, over 200 years old. And in that triangle of oak trees, they dug a deep hole. They had their slaves bury their treasure there. Then they killed the slaves and buried them on top of the treasure. Mm. Now, the reason they did that was because the slaves knew where the treasure was, and the Union soldiers would never mess with the grave. But there's an old man that lived down the road from us in Cecilia, and we were told that he could come out and he could call the spirits of those slaves up from the dead. And when he did, if they found favor with us, they would tell us where the gold was buried. But you know, from studying God's word, we knew we weren't supposed to have anything to do with spiritists or mediums. So we didn't do that. But today, because you're here and you've had breakfast with us, we want to share our greatest treasure with you. And it's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. You know, Jim and I were walking our own way, living our life to please ourselves. But because of some issues in our life, we begin to study the Word of God. And we read that we needed Jesus Christ to be our personal Savior and Lord. Because without Him, our sins would not be forgiven. So we both turned from walking our own way. And we turned to live our life to work for walk with God. We surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We asked Him to come in and live through us and in us. And He totally changed our life. And that is our greatest treasure. And it's more precious than silver are gold.
Hmm. Amen.
Wow. Beautiful.
Did you guys ever experience anyone after that presentation? Did it ever go any further with your guests?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it did.
We would have people sometimes write in the guest book about the amazing things God had done in their lives while they were there. Mm-hmm. We had many people that would stay sometimes until afternoon talking and letting Jim minister the Word mm-hmm. of God to them. It was just unreal what God did in other people's lives, but also what He did in our life. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was so sweet, so terrific.
I remember one morning after this breakfast and that presentation, as the people were going out, everybody was, you know, thanking us and saying things. But this one lady kind of held back a little bit. And her husband walked on out with the group. And she came up with tears in her eyes, thanking Judy because her husband was not a believer. And she was so happy that he heard the gospel that morning.
One of the beautiful things about having that bed and breakfast is I cleaned toilets, as I made everything pretty and smell good and made those beds. I pray for the people that were going to be in that room, that God would impact their life. So in eternity future, we may know what God did. It doesn't matter if I know or not, because I know that God worked in people's lives. Mm-hmm. People felt peaceful there. They wanted to come back. And the joy of us serving people. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was part of who I was. Mm-hmm. But I served them, cared for them, and gave them the truth about who Jesus is. I miss that.
I know. I know. I do too.
I'm just remembering too that the setting for this was just perfect because Tim had just built us a dining room off of the kitchen.
That's right. Mm.
And there was kind of an area out of the kitchen before the steps began going down to the dining room. So Judy, after all the guests were in there and had their breakfast and everything, she would stand up on that level area, almost like she had a pulpit. And her congregation was down at the breakfast tables, and they couldn't get out without walking past her.
They were trapped one way or another.
And we had repeat guests come over and over, and the same ones would sit and listen to my little presentation about the house and property and Jesus.
Wow. I wonder how many people heard the gospel at your bed and breakfast who would never enter a church building.
Yes.
And God sent them in His sovereignty to you.
Well, I can only speak from my own experience at Country Oaks and our children. I mean, Country Oaks has such a place in our hearts. And it's not just Country Oaks, it's the Country Oaks experience. It's the Jim and Judy and the Holy Spirit that used you to bring so much joy, peace, comfort, just refreshment to our lives. And our kids to this day remember those days at Country Oaks and talk of them, of how inspiring they were. I think this is a good place for us to just wrap up and just plan to visit with you guys again.
Okay.
I think we should just encourage our listeners that it doesn't really matter where you are and what you're doing. There's always opportunity to share the love of God, to share the gospel, to share refreshment with others. Yeah. And you guys have been such an amazing example of that.
Well, and I think I've heard a theme in how God has led you, or at least led you through the years you've shared with us so far, is that you did not know or did not expect to do things, and God presented opportunities for you, whether it was at the TV station or at the bed and breakfast idea, the pastoring a church. You positioned yourself to be used by Him, and He presented opportunities. And even though you had no experience, you had the faith and the willingness to step into it and trust that He would show you how to do it. I think that's beautiful, because I think sometimes we feel like, well, God would never call me to do something I'm not equipped for or I haven't done before. And mm-hmm. I think your lives indicate that, no, God may present an opportunity to you that you've never really done before, and He wants to get the glory from your life as He teaches you how to do that.
Well, you're absolutely correct, because, you know, we had, that was an old house. Through the process, we ended up with older houses that we rebuilt and refurbished to make the cottages out there. Two of those were just given to us by people who wanted it off of their property. And talking about things we weren't equipped to do or anything, in all of those houses, they had to be rewired and replumbed.
Which you knew how to do all that?
I did not know how to do it.
Oh, but you did that.
I just went down and bought a book about how to...
This was before YouTube, right?
Yeah, before YouTube. I just bought a book about wiring houses, and I bought one about plumbing, and followed the direction. Again, you know, God was in it all. And to this day, the electric still works, and so does the plumbing.
And knowing you, it was done with perfection.
Yes, it was. And can I say one thing, too? I would like to honor my mother at this time. I was taken from my parents when I was 3.5 years old, so I didn't grow up with my parents. But I always had a connection with my mother. And when my mother passed away, she passed away a few weeks before we moved out to the country where we did the bed and breakfast. She left me an inheritance. And we were able to take that money and use that to bring in those cottages and redo them. And I just would like to say, if there's anybody that's thinking, I've been neglected by my parents, and wait and watch and see how in the final days, God may provide them to care for you. Mm. See, I think my mother didn't care for me when I was young, but as I got older, she helped Jim and I. She cared for us, and she provided in God's work.
That's beautiful. Right.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking a little bit about your involvement in foster care and maybe some of your story, Judy.
I definitely want our listeners to stay tuned, because the way this is progressing, it looks like we're going to have several episodes talking with Jim and Judy, because, oh my goodness, what a rich source of inspiration, encouragement. I was going to go shopping today after we met, but I just feel like, who needs to shop? There's a wealth here, wealth of treasure here that I want to hear. And listeners, our listeners need to know that we've heard these stories multiple times. And every time you tell them, my soul just leaps. I'm refreshed and encouraged and just so blessed. And I know our listeners can't see our faces, but as Jim and Judy have been talking, just our eyes are welling up with tears because getting to watch and see how God has used your lives is so encouraging to us as we surrender in areas of our lives. And I hope to our listeners that someone out there will just hear your story and say, that is a word from God to me, just a confirmation to step out in faith.
Well, and I hesitate to say this, but given your history, there may be someone out there listening to this podcast who visited your bed and breakfast.
Yes.
And recognize your names. I would love for you to contact us. We will get that information to Jim and Judy. They would love to hear from you and to know that your life was touched because of theirs. So we will get together again, and you guys have a great day.
Well, I would like to be sure that we have another episode, because I want to talk about how you have influenced our life, because
we didn't make that deal.
No,
but that needs to come in.
At the beginning of all of this that we've covered this morning, we were relatively a new married couple, and we learned so much about marriage relationship and family relationships from the two of you. I want to share what an influence you've been in our lives. So stay tuned.
Relational Impact Podcast is brought to you by Relational Impact Ministries. We are supported by our ministry partners and would love for you to join our team. Find out more at relationalimpact.org.